All right, faith, part seven. Last time we got together, a few of the things we taught on, words are seeds of life. Words are seeds of life. So you need to plant good seed if you want good harvest. It's pretty easy to understand, but it's harder to do because of the way we live and the world that we live in, so pressurized. Your daily confession will be your daily possession. Your daily confession will be your daily possession. So the way you confess your life is the way you receive in your life. If you're always talking negative and down in the dumps and Charlie Brown, why is everybody picking on me, and Linus's blanket full of dust and all the things of life that is negative, you're going to possess that. And again, it's not Scientology. It's not mind over matter. It's your words lining up with God's words that makes the difference. And we need to continue to remember that when we're dealing with faith, because faith operates solely, only in the power of God's word. It activates us and it strengthens us. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. We're not going to go back over that, but that was the story. We talked about Zacharias and we talked about Mary. Remember that? And that was a very powerful revelation, seeing the difference between the two. Of one who did not believe the word of the Lord and became dumb. Another message there. But was silenced because of the divine order that was given and didn't walk in faith. But then a little girl, 12 years old or so, believed God and took the word of the Lord and became highly favored of God. And on the teaching went. So that was pretty cool comparison. I want to be like Mary in the sense that I want to believe the word of God and say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Remember that word was rhema. Remember that? It was living. It was a revelatory word. I can preach all day long and you can read all day long and it can just be the logos of God, the written word, and it really blesses you and you hear it and it's good and great. But then when it becomes rhema and hits you, it becomes alive inside of you. And that's what we want. We want the word of God to become alive inside of you. And then when it does, guess what? It becomes to the point where you're persuaded. You're persuaded. You believe it. Nobody can shake your faith when you're persuaded. Remember Paul said that he was persuaded? I think he was pretty persuaded, don't you? So we talked about that. We talked about God can only produce after his kind, after his kind. And so if I want the God kind of life, then I need to speak the God kind of words and have God kind of faith. Can I have it? Yes, you can, because he gave you the Bible. Yes, we can. No doubt about it. So I'm not going to go over much more of that, because I could just sit there and reteach the whole thing, because I really, really enjoyed that particular teaching. Remember, Mary asked a question of information, not a statement of doubt. Hers was a question of information, where Zacharias was more of a question of doubt. He was more doubting than he was speaking by faith. All right, so that was last time, just generally going over some of those notes. That was pretty good. I didn't take as long as I normally did, because I really want to get into tonight's teaching. So this is part eight on faith. Is that right? We're on eight already? Man, we're rock and rolling. Don't know how long we're going to go, but here we go, part eight. Here's a couple words I want you to write down. Our words control our destiny. Destiny simply means your purpose. Our words control our destiny or our purpose and affect our destination in life. Our words control our destiny. They control our purpose and affect our destination in life. Well, they do. They really do. They control our purpose. You know, if we're people of faith and God has a great plan for our life, and if we're constantly speaking negativity and saying it's not going to happen, I'm always going to be broke, I'm always going to work at this job, I'm always going to do this, I'm never going to be anything that God's called me to be, I'm never going to go into full-time ministry, I'm never going to have the vision God said we're going to have, we're never going to own the things that God said we'd own, we're never going to own the building. If we constantly do that, then that will affect our purpose. So if I'm talking that way, if I'm speaking that way, then why, what am I living for? What's the purpose of living if I'm not speaking what God says about me? You're just existing. We don't want to exist. We want to excel in our lives. And the way to excel in life, even in the end times, is speaking the word of God, how he sees you. You have two ways to live, how the world sees you or how God sees you. The world sees you in such a terrible light, right? How do I know that? Because we can't compare with nobody. Every commercial we see, we don't have that. Think about the commercials that are made. They're made for you because you don't have that. Or you're not like that person, but if you buy this product, you can be like that person. Buy these jeans and you'll be skinny. No, you won't. Come on, somebody. How come every model, help me, I'm about to, how come every model, you know, is who they are and, help me, I just saw this vision. I just, you know, there's a reason. There's a reason it sells, right? And the world looks at you as not that. And you can be that in their minds if you just buy their product. Well, God doesn't look at you like that. He looks at you with the eyes of possibilities. He looks at you with the eyes of impossibility. It's impossible with you, but with God it's not. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so when he causes you to look into the mirror of the word, I see myself as God sees me. Now, I'm not ignorant and realize I need to lose weight. I need to do this. Those are natural things. But when it comes to my destination and my purpose in life, I've got to see it the way God sees it. Because according to the world, we're not smart enough. You went to 4 years of college, that ain't enough. You need eight. You know, you got a master's degree? No, you need a PhD. You get your PhD? No, you need a ABCD. Or whatever. I mean, everything is always more, more, more because you're never good enough. So our words control our destiny and our purpose and affect our destination in life. Again, I'm not going to go by what the world says to me. Some of the smartest people I ever meet never went to college. Some of the most wealthiest people in world history had no college education. Come on, somebody. That doesn't mean you shouldn't educate yourself. Well, the point is this. You have to declare what God says about you. Words, here's another way I put it. Words affect your destiny. They affect your destiny. Listen, God is not going to pick you up from where you are right now and put you where you need to be if you're constantly a negative person. He's not. It's not going to work that way. You will always be in a cycle. You will always be in a circle. You will always be like that dog chasing its tail. You always will be. Because he doesn't work that way. He doesn't work in negativity. He works it by faith. He's a faith God. Try that again. He's a faith God. And my destiny and your destiny is tied by what we say that God says about us. This isn't to ministers. This is for everybody. What is your destiny? And that's a whole other teaching, finding out what God wants you to do. But one thing's for sure, if he tells you in the word that he wants to bless you and keep you in health and all those different aspects of life, then that's your destiny. That's what he wants for you. And so I have to speak towards it no matter what the outward conditions are. Okay? The alternative is to give up and roll over and say, okay, it's not working. Well, then that makes God look like a liar, and he's not a liar, nor the Son of Man that he should what? Repent. All right, so our tongue is the most powerful weapon we possess. Our tongue is the most powerful weapon we possess. Think about this. Think about this. Your tongue has no muscle per se, but it's the strongest part of your body. It can do the most damage. It can destroy people. It can break hearts. It can break families. It can ruin ministries. It can ruin lives. It can start wars and on. We're going to learn that tonight. So our tongue is the most powerful weapon. It doesn't have bones, you know, like an arm would have, like muscles per se, again. But man, it's bad, isn't it? Nobody wants to talk. Yeah, it's bad. The tongue can be very bad. We're going to prove that. And then my final thing is faith is a decision. Faith is a choice. Faith is a decision. Faith is a choice. You got to choose to walk by faith. You got to choose to speak life. You have to make a decision. I'm not going to get up today and be negative. I'm going to say what the Word of God says today, no matter how I feel. You got to train your brain to do that. You really do. Because I know we live in a world that's emotional. We feel things. We feel pains. We feel whatever. We have emotions. There's no doubt about it. But we have to override those emotions with faith and say, no. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to declare and decree I'm blessed, coming in, going out in the city, in the field, on the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Is that right? I make that confession every day. I'm blessed. My family's blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. Well, don't you know I'm blessed? What else are you going to do? See, you say, if you don't say that, are you not blessed? Yeah, you come to the place where if you don't declare that you're blessed, then you're declaring you're cursed. Let me take these off where I can see you. If you don't declare you're blessed, then you're allowing the enemy to curse you. Every day you should say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. Now, remember, blessings in the American mindset is Bentleys and $5,000 sneakers. But that's not kingdom blessing. The blessings are the fact that I'm still standing on 2 feet. I got 2 feet, 2 arms. You know, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. So we have to learn how to confess that. And I don't want to run that into the ground, but we have to. And that's how faith operates in our lives. That's how we release it. So our tongue is the most powerful weapon we possess. You got to learn how to use this tongue, I'm telling you. Okay, so let's go to James chapter 1. Let's begin at verse 19, and we're going to talk about this right here. And this is good for us. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I love this. Let's look at it one more time. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. You got to learn how to hear. One of the keys to faith is learning how to hear. And hearing doesn't happen with your mouth open. It amazes when I go to talk to somebody and they're just blabbing and blabbing and blabbing. But you know what I do? I shut up. No, seriously, why would I cast my pearls among swine? If a person doesn't think that my words are valuable and all they want to do is talk over me and talk through me and talk around me, then you know what? You don't value what I'm going to tell you. These are pearls. I have value in my mouth. I have something valuable to say. You don't want to hear it. Hey, that's pretty good, right? How many of y'all have situations like people just they don't want to hear? But we have to be swift to hear. We need to learn how to hear what the Word of God is. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. In other words, don't be so quick to be angry. All right, next verse. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We know that. It never pays. Next verse. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now notice this. He's talking about the word, receiving it. The engrafted word, that word needs to be engrafted into us. It needs to be implanted, imparted to us, so that it becomes not second nature, but first nature. The word of God should be first nature. You get hit hard, cussing shouldn't come out, blessing should. You get hit hard with life and whatever it may be, complaining can't be the first thing. It must be praising. Now, again, God lets us be emotional, and he gives us a moment to cry out and say, God, I don't like this. This hurts or what have you. But if you live in that, then you give the license to the enemy to stay there. You understand what I'm saying, the difference? Of course, you're going to have emotions. Of course, you're going to say, man, God, I don't like this. I really don't appreciate this, but you're still the same. I still love you, and I'm going to worship you. Okay? Receive with the meekness the engrafted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls, not just save your souls, but to keep you saved. Next verse. Be you what? Doers of the word. Well, if I'm going to be a doer of the word, that means I also have to be a speaker of the word. So this verse is not just talking about doing something like you're doing Christian ministry or what have you. It's talking about doing the word and speaking the word, becoming the word engrafted inside of you, it operating in your life, and again, becoming your first nature, your first answer. This is the question you have to ask yourself. When you go through things or what have you, what do you say first? Now, I can't answer this for you because I'm not with you 24/7. Thank the Lord. You guys couldn't handle me, and I couldn't handle you. But somebody said, praise God. You know that's right, brother. You just spoke the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Come on now. Where was I? Yeah, he just blew you away. You have to be able to answer that. You have to answer, how do I react when I get hit in life? How do I react when pain comes? How do I react when problems come? What is my first line of defense? What do I do? Who do I call? Who's the first person do I call? Do I get on my knees and pray? Do I call Granny? Or do I call Auntie? Or do I call my best friend at church? Or whatever? Who do you call? What do you do? What do I do? Come on, what do I do? I'm accountable too. Okay, so you be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So if I don't speak the word of God, if I don't have the word engrafted inside of me, and if I'm just only hearing it, in other words, giving God the nod, then I am deceiving myself. In other words, I'm not getting what I need. I'm not becoming who I'm supposed to be, and I'm deceived. You know how many Christians go to church and are deceived? Because they think they got it made in the shade because they got a little bit of blessings and a good job and a 401k and whatever they have, and they think to themselves, man, that's my blessing. Or you got a good doctor, you got a good line to the pharmacist, and you can get drugs and take care of every ache and pain. Whatever it is, people that they trust in life itself instead of trusting in God. And you know that's true. So you're deceiving your own self. Next verse. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Talking about a mirror. Okay, so if I just hear the word but I don't do it, if I just hear it and I don't speak it, if I don't operate in that word, then again, I'm like that person looking in a mirror. He explains it further. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So if I don't learn how to recite this word, declare the scriptures, speak the scriptures, look into the word and see what God says about me, and then repetitively repeat, declare and decree what it says, then I'm like the guy that just heard the word or looked in the mirror and walked away and didn't even know who he was. But the flip side of this is if I declare, decree, and continue to prophesy and speak, then I become the image that I see right here in this word. I'm about to run around this church. But you get the opposite if you don't. You get what the world says and sees about you. You get to carry the complexities of life, of people calling you all kinds of names growing up, and yeah, well, I guess that's what I am. Instead of breaking those things off by the word of God. Does that make it any sense to anybody? You don't have to be poor like everybody else in your family was. You don't have to be this. You don't have to be that. You surely don't have to be poor-spirited. You don't have to be. Some of the worst people who are poor are the ones poor in spirit. Not money-wise, poor in spirit. Just poor.
Everything's poor. You love God? Yeah.
Really? Okay. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. Well, who are you?
I don't know.
Next verse. That's pretty bad, isn't it? But whoso, here's the answer, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. The law of liberty. What is the law of liberty? That's the word of God. God's word is a law. It's a commandment. It's restraining power. And it gives us what? Freedom. Liberty. So when I look into that law of liberty, what does he say? And continueth therein. Bam! There's what a slam that is. What a perfect teaching that is. Because I can't just look into it. I got to stay there. Come on, help me, church. I don't know if the storm's going to make you tired or what, but you know, you don't go look in the mirror once a week and just check yourself out on Monday and say, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And don't do it Tuesday. Don't do it Wednesday. Please do it Wednesday. Don't do it Thursday. Don't do it Friday. But you go back to Monday and you want to check again. Yeah. Do you know how ugly you would be by Friday? You know how messed up your hair would be? Come on, church, help me out. But if you stay continuing that mirror like we all do, course, when we get older, we try to shun it. It's like, get out of here. Who are you? Get away from me. When you're younger, you're like, yeah. Yeah, you see that? I got a new muscle right there, buddy. Like Fonzie doing your hair. All right. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. So I continue in that word. I'm not a forgetful hearer. Why? I know what the word says about me, so I stay in it. Why get out of it? Why do Christians get out of the word of God the rest of the week? They're in it Sunday and they're in it Wednesday, and then they're miserable through the week. Because they never get back into the word. Get back into the word. Stay in it. But a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his what? Deed. Or deeds. Or life. Or activity. Or opportunities. I'm blessed. You're blessed. Why? Because I'm staying in the word. I'm not letting the world dictate who I am. I'm speaking faith. I'm speaking the word of faith. I'm speaking the words of life. Does that make sense? It makes tons of sense. But we don't apply it to our lives because, you know, a lot of people, man, you know, as soon as church is over, whoo, hey, all right, man, yeah, let's go on, boy. And they do whatever. And I know we have life, and I'm not saying you got to be in the Bible 24/7, but let the Bible be in you 24/7. Live it, speak it, declare it, breathe it, prophesy it. In Jesus' name. All right, so what happens next here? Verse, come on, Brother James, take us there. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. What's he saying in context? He's talking about this whole thing. He's talking about the words. He's talking about tongue. Bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Now, look what James is saying. Brother James is showing us. You can sit there and look at the word, declare the word, continue therein. But if you don't learn how to speak the words of faith and the words of life, then everything thereof is in vain. Let me break it down a little better in the Greek. For any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. The word bridle there means to tame it, to tame, to control, to constrain his tongue. He basically deceives his own heart. I've heard people say, well, I'm old enough I can say whatever I want to say. No, you can't. No, you don't have the right. Yes, I do have the right to blow off my top. I've earned it. Well, you can also earn being deceived. All the hell I've been through, I got the right to say some things negative. Well, you just blew it right there. See, no matter how old we get, no matter how life seems to be critical, we can't be critical with life. We got to learn how to speak faith and declare and decree things. But he says here, and bridleth not his tongue, deceive his own. This man's religion is vain. The translation really is his Christian service is in vain. Look it up in the Greek. It means Christian service. So that would be a terrible thing for me to be in the word, read the word, prophesy, speak the word, and then I just blast my tongue off everywhere I go. Bless you. I mean, everywhere I go, going to Walmart, those blankety blanks, those blah, blah, blahs, and I can't believe this, and then, blah, 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 and that pastor, I tell you, long-winded. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. It just, everything's negative. And it's like an old billy goat. It's like, come on, stop. You got to stop that. But is that what he just told us? Are you reading what I'm teaching? But he deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. I don't want my Christian service in vain. I don't want everybody to think, oh, well, what a super Christian he is, you know, and whatever. And then I'm out there blah, 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 and always being negative and never blessing God. And you rob yourself. Just keeping it real, church. Amen. We got to learn how to control this tongue, and I'm going to teach you how to do that. Go to James chapter 3. And actually, let me just give you this last part. His religion and Christian service, when it says it's in vain, just so you, if you don't have time to look it up in the Greek, it means futile or barren. Your Christian service is futile or barren. Do you see how God is more interested in your heart via your tongue than he is your hands and your work for him? So what, you do this for the church, or you do that for the kingdom, or that for the community, or whatever. If you got a nasty old tongue, you do a disservice to yourself. That's how God feels about it. He really does. He really feels that strong about the tongue. And we're going to prove why he does. Why does God care so much about that? Okay, now let's go to James chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 1. If you still kind of like me, say amen. I got one. Thank you, brother. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So James is talking to teachers, talking to those that are going to stand before the Lord for their instruction to others. So he starts out that way. Next verse. For in many things we offend all. How many things? Many. We offend all. We're going to offend somebody. I do it every Sunday. And if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to bridle his whole body. So if you can keep somebody from being offended by what you say, you're awesome. You're perfect. And I don't see one yet I'm looking at in the whole room, including moi. Because we're going to offend somebody. Not intentionally, always, but sometimes it's intentionally. Sometimes it's accidental. But we're going to offend somebody, right? So James is laying out some foundational truth. All right. So if we can control that tongue, we can control the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we churn about their whole body. Is that right? Okay, until they throw you off. Next verse. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. Think about that. Wherever the governor wants them to go, wherever the helmsman, whatever the captain wants them to go, that little rudder. Isn't that amazing to see these big giant boats and there's something so small down there compared to the massive metal that is there? It's pretty cool. Watch this. Next verse. Even so, the tongue is a little member, right? Don't stick it out at me, but it's a little guy, right? Right? Some are bigger and others different, but it's a little member and boasts as great things. Isn't that right? So small, but it can talk up a storm. It can talk about, it can lie and say, you know, blah, 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 blah. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Actually, the translation should be a forest fire. What a great forest fire it can start. That tongue. You think about all the arguments you've ever been in before. The ones you started. Or tried to finish. Think about relationships that have just been destroyed over the years because, you know, we got in arguments. I mean, I can go back in my memory of things I've said in the past, like, oh, I can't believe I said that. Wow. I'd make a sailor blush. No offense, Tony, but you know what I'm talking about. Tony's a former sailor, Navy man. He knows. And, you know, being in the military, you know, you kind of have that tongue. But check this out. Next verse. Although the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. This is what James, this is what God is saying about our tongues. It's dangerous. Our tongues are very dangerous. We can cause so much problems, so much hurt, so much death, so much doubt. Okay, there's going to be a good side to this in a minute. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. How does it defile my whole body if it's up here and I'm not doing anything? I'm not whipping my head with my tongue. I'm not, you know. That's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, I'm not doing anything with my tongue to hurt myself. Can I? Yeah, by my words. I defile my body, or I defile the body of Christ. I defile the body of my life. Whatever structures around me, I can defile it, destroy it, decay it, and ruin it by my tongue. You want to destroy your marriage or your home and not have peace? Just run your mouth. Both sides. Just run your mouth. See what happens. See what you get. You want to destroy a church? You want to destroy relationships around you? Just run your mouth and see what happens to you. You want to end up in an early grave? Talk death. Talk unbelief. Talk doubt. Talk nothing works. I can't get an answer. Talk. The tongue can destroy you. But if it has been baptized, if you will, in the Word of God and grafted into the Word and faith is spoken out, it will do the opposite. It will produce life. Watch what it says here. This is very powerful teaching. I don't know if you've seen it before. That it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. The course of nature. Now, the translation in the Greek means the will of life. The will of life or the cycle of life. So you're born with an unruly tongue. You can go back to creation, which I'm going to talk about it in a little bit. But it talks about the will, the steering or the cycle of creation or of life, I should say. So if I want to go in the direction that is negative, then let that puppy rip. And it will drive me to my destination. It will cycle me to the destination. But if I want to see the blessings of God, His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, then I declare what God says. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. Our reaction should be this. I can only say what Jesus says. I can only say what the Word says. Can I see what the Father's doing? No, I can't, but I can see Him through the Word, right? So if I speak that word, then I'm declaring that word and I'm framing my life. Going back to Hebrews chapter 11 when I began to teach on part one about framing your world. God said, let there be. God said in creation. And it was. God took the animals to Adam. He spoke it, declared and decreed dominion. And it was. God gives you a life and He says, what do you say about it? Whatever you say is what you get. Great book, Hung by the Tongue. Hope you read it. It's truth. It's powerful. We're hung by our tongues. So it setteth on fire the course of nature or the course of life. My life, my destiny, where I'm headed, the purpose. Now, I'm not just talking about just heaven. I'm talking about my purpose on earth is determined by my words. It's powerful, man. And we don't believe that we have this much ability and sovereignty, but you do. Why? Because God created you like Him. I'm created in the image of God. You're created in the image like Him. That doesn't just mean the structural figures, features. There's so many things about that anyways, about God, that one day we'll describe Him as amazing. He's indescribable, but yet He allows a glimpse of who He is. But it means that I'm made in His likeness, as in spirit, soul, and body, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there's so much to that. And God gives you a piece of sovereignty to be able to declare His word. It's an amazing thing. And that's a believer's authority I might preach on and teach on another time. Okay, and it did what? It set on fire of hell. What did it do? It set on fire hell. The fires of hell. Who did it? Lucifer. What did he say? Five times, I will, I will, I will. And God said, no, you won't. His tongue did it. Because hell was created for who? Satan. It wasn't created for man. Read it. The Bible tells it. It wasn't created for man. It was created for him. He's the one that put himself there eventually in the end. And all his little cohorts that went with him. Okay? So why would I want to follow the path of hell? Well, you do when you speak the words of that are not right. All right, next verse. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed. That's pretty true. We could do about anything. We put them in zoos, right? Aquariums, just capture them and stick them in there, right? And hath been tamed of mankind. True statement. But the tongue can no man tame. Wait, I'm going to pull my hair out. You just told me I need to train my brain to tame my tongue. Yeah, I did, and I'm going to show you how in a minute. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of what? Deadly poison. How many tongue? Everybody's tongue. I mean, you've never been fussed out until you got fussed out by a church person. You ever been fussed out by a church person? That sweet little angel, that sweet little thing. Gee whiz. Or just somebody mad at you, right? So it's no man can tame it. So we'll get to that in a minute. Let's go to next verse. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Remember, we're made in His image, I said? But here we are. We're blessing God. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Amen. Good to see you, brothers. Y'all have a great day. I got to go to the house. Hey, you blankety blank, you cut me off. You toad frog looking waitress. I'm a man of God. And my soup's cold. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Some of the most nastiest people you see sometimes are church folk. They're hypocrites. Lord, I worship you. And if my horn were a machine gun, I'd blow you off the road, you punk. Hey, we all have to watch it, don't we? I'll kill you. But he's trying to teach us. Here we bless God, and then we're cursing people who are made after Him. In other words, if you're blessing God and you're cursing those who look like Him, and He created Him after His very image, created them, aren't you kind of like slapping Him in the face? Think for a minute. Now, we got the right to be mad. You know, they did me wrong, and I'm a child of God, and I'm going to tell you right now. You know, or whatever we do, we make up all kinds of excuses, but in his teaching, this is pretty raw. James is like, no, you can't do that. Well, you shouldn't do that, and let's work on not doing that. All right, next verse. Somebody said, get away from this. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things should be. Nope. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. James realizes it. He knows we have a problem. He recognizes his tongue is unruly. It's a poison. He calls us out on it by the Holy Spirit's inspiration. And he says it shouldn't be that way. We should not be people who bless God on a Sunday morning and then curse everybody out at the restaurant. Now, you don't have to use bad words to curse. You can pray the legs grow together. Sarah, I think Sarah tried that one time, but you know what I mean. Well, serve me like that. I pray your legs grow together. You don't know who I am. I go to Ignited. No, don't tell them none of that. Come on, we all have had that attitude. You know, if I'm the only one being honest, I don't mind. I'm going to confess. I never prayed their legs would go together, but I might try it. No. All right, next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Does it? It'd be brackish, wouldn't it? Anybody ever drink brackish water? No, you didn't, because you'll spit it right out. Next verse. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So, here's the lesson. It's not only a lesson in speaking right and being kind towards people, it's also a lesson of faith in speaking the word of God. How can I sit there and speak words of life on one hand and then curse everything else? How can I go inside of a house of God and agree of everything being said, and then I go out and be the opposite? I'm a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. We're hypocrites if we do that, and we're only damaging ourselves. Is that what James just taught us? Yeah, you're defiling your own body, your own life. There are times There are times when God is moving so strong in my life and the life of the ministry, I just want to walk around with tape on my mouth because I don't want to say certain things that I'm probably going to say, because I'm so in awe of God that I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to mess the flow up. And I think that's healthy. I think that's a real feeling that we should have, that Lord, I don't want to blow things with you. I don't want to blow things with my brother and my sister. I want to walk in peace and unity. I want to have a good conscience between God and man and my own self. Don't you? I think that's a powerful principle we should all press towards. Okay, so you said about taming. We got just a couple of minutes. I'm going to try to squeeze this in. You can't tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. You want to write that down in your notes. No, you don't have the ability to tame your tongue. The Bible is very, very plain on that. It's very clear. No man can tame it. But if the Holy Spirit is helping you and you're engrafted into that word, the word's engrafted into you, you're spending time in the mirror of the word, then you become more conscious and more subconscious of what's being said out of your mouth. In other words, you tell God, and I do, I'm not trying to share my prayers because my prayers are private, but some of the things that I do is, Lord, put a seal over my mouth. Put a seal over my mouth. Help me not to say certain things. Please help me. I'm getting better. I'm learning how to walk away. And you always get somebody that says, come on, man, what were you going to say? What was he going to say, bro? And I'm like, I'm not saying it. I'm not going to violate what I've asked the Lord to help me to do because he caught me. And here's one thing the Lord shared with me too, that sometimes you can think a thing but don't say the thing. Sometimes you can think it but don't say it. Because thinking it and saying it are two different things. When you think it, yes, it's a part of the imagination, but when you say it, you've released it. And you know what? You can't get it back. My mind, I can go, oh, no, I'm not thinking that. I'm sorry, Lord, I even thought that. But once I said it, whoop, it's gone. It's out there. And then guess what? If it's words of life, it has the power of God behind it, and it brings life. If it's death, guess what? You just energize the enemy in your life. All right, so let's go to 1 Peter 3, and that's probably all I'm going to be able to get to you guys tonight. And my intentions were to go way, way further. But I hope this is helping you. It's helping me. Oh, yeah, it's 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Because I really don't want to be hung by the tongue, and I know one day I'm going to be accountable for all my words, so will you. Yeah, 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Yep. All right. Finally, somebody said, praise God, finally. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion on one another. Okay, that's a good thing. Have compassion. In other words, tolerate, understand where each other's from and what we're going through and the differences and blah, blah, blah. We're human, right? Everybody can't be perfect like you. One another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, come on, be nice, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. In other words, somebody slanders you, you don't go back and slander them, but contrarywise, blessing. Do what? Do something contrarywise, be a blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So I got to learn how to be a blessing, speak a blessing, so I can get my blessing. I got to learn how to be a blessing, speak a blessing in order to get my blessing. But if I'm always cursing everybody, speaking bad about them, cutting them down, guess what? You're not going to get your blessing. You're not going to inherit a blessing. Why should God bless you if all you do is just bust everybody down? Yeah, you see, what's his name today? Boy, what was he wearing? A parachute? I mean, that thing was so big, could have been a tarp. Help me. Come on. The number one meal on every menu Sunday afternoon is pastor. Because they're going to carve him up. I tell you, he said some stuff that really bothered me, got on my crawl. Come on, church. Not this church, not you guys. You would never say anything about me. No way. No. I'm watching my back. Knowing that you're called that you should inherit a blessing. So I got to watch myself. I want my blessing. That's what I was talking about earlier about being careful. God's blessing the house and I don't want to mess it up. I'm careful. You know, even when I know certain things about ministries, about just careful. God, I don't want to mess it up, man. I don't want to mess my relationship with you. I don't want to mess the presence up. I don't want to mess it up. The number one you mess things up is by your tongue. Trust me, I've been married a long time. I understand that. Next verse. For he that will love life and see good days. You love life? Thank you, Judy. That's why she's got the employee of the month. You love life, right? You want to see good days? I want to see good days. This should be for marriage right here. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Let him control his tongue. Let him control his tongue. Let him control his tongue from evil. Refrain it. You know what evil is. And his lips that speak no guile, no deceit is what it is. No deception. They said about Jesus there was no guile in him. Next verse. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and do what? Ensue it or pursue it. Finally, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. So that means that God is watching and God is hearing. So if I don't control my lips and I don't control my tongue, he's fully aware of that. And I can forfeit my blessing. I can forfeit my walk of faith. And everything that God's trying to do in my life, I can mess it up. Muddy the water. You ever been in an interview or something like that and you should have just shut up, but you kept on? Or you've been somewhere and you just kept talking and you should have just be quiet and you messed it up? I have. I should have just shut my pie hole. But I didn't. I kept a little, 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 little. You know, and you lose out, right? Because you should have shut up. And his ears open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. All right, so God's against those that do evil. I would venture to say that he's against those that speak evil as well. He doesn't want us to speak evil. He wants us to speak well. So how do you know the difference? How do you know the difference between, you know, you're just talking and you're just saying certain things and being evil about it? You have to let the Holy Spirit guide you. There is no rule book on it. On here's the words you have to say to be a good Christian. Here's the words you don't say, you know, to be a bad Christian or what have you. Or what, however you want to pronounce, figure that out. All I know is this, that the Holy Spirit will help guide your tongue if you'll just ask him. Say, Lord, help me not to speak things I shouldn't speak. Wisdom begins with the mouth shut. Father God, thank you for the teaching tonight that will help us to walk by faith and to declare and decree your promises. Help us, Father, to bless you and bless man, not to bless you and curse man. Help us, Father, to take this tongue that we have and guard it, Father God, into truth and to be what we're supposed to be in the final days. Lord, we love you for it, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I love you. See you Sunday. Can't wait till next time. We're going to teach. We're going to talk about guarding the tongue.